देवहूषो
यदाकटस्ते
सङ्कल्पो
यदाकटस्ते सङ्कल्पो
भाव्यं हीनैव नान्यथा
भाव्यं हीनैव नान्यथा
सत्सङ्कल्पस्य ते ब्रह्मन्
सत्सङ्कल्पस्य ते ब्रह्मन्
यद्वै जायति ते वयम्
यद्वै जायति ते वयम्
देवाहूषो यदाकृतस्ते सङ्कल्पो भाव्यं तेनैव मन्यत सत्सङ्कल्पस्य ते ब्रह्म यद्वै ध्यायति ते वयम् देवा ऊचु यदाकृतस्ते सङ्कल्पो भाव्यं तेनैव नान्यत सत्सङ्कल्पस्य ते ब्रह्मन् यद्वै ध्यायति ते वयम्
देवोऽसु
देवाऊचु
यदाकृतस्ते सङ्कल्पो भाव्यं तेनैव नान्यत सत्सङ्कल्पस्य ते भ्रमन् यद्वै ध्यायति ते वयम् देवाऊचु
यदाकृतस्ते सङ्कल्पो
सत्सङ्कल्पस्य ते भ्रमन् यद्वै ध्यायति ते वयम् यदाकृतस्ते सङ्कल्पो
सत्सङ्कल्पस्य ते
भ्रमन्
यद्वै ध्यायति ते वयम्
Devahushu,
Devahushu,
demigods replied,
Yada,
as,
Krita,
Dan,
Dey,
Vayu,
Sankalpa,
Determination,
Bhavyam,
Vidan,
Hina
Eva,
by that,
Na Anyata,
not otherwise,
Satsankalpasya,
one
whose determination is never lost,
of you.
Brahman,
O
dear Brahmana,
that
which
why
certainly jayati,
meditating,
all of them,
vayam.
We are. Translation of three deities told out Trimuni, dear Brahmana, you are perfect in your termination, and therefore, as you have decided, so it will happen. It will not happen otherwise. We are all the same person upon whom you were meditating, and therefore we have all come to you. Therefore, Atrimuni unspecifically thought of the personality of God as the Lord of the universe, although he had no clear idea of the Lord of the universe nor a specific form. Mahavishnu, from whose breathing millions of universes emanate and into whom they are again withdrawn, may be accepted as the Lord of the universe. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, from whose abdomen sprouted the lotus flower, which is the birthplace of Brahma, may also be considered the Lord of the universe. Similarly, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, who is the Supersoul of all living entities, may also be considered the Lord of the universe. Then, under the order of Shiradakshaya Vishnu, the Vishnu form within the universe, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva may also be accepted as lords of the universe. Vishnu is the Lord of the universe because he is the maintainer. Similarly, Brahma creates the different planetary systems and the populations. He may also be considered the Lord of the universe. Or Lord Shiva, who is ultimate to destroy the universe, may also be considered his Lord. Therefore, since Atrimuni did not specifically mention whom he wanted, all three, Brahma, Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, came before him. They said, since you were thinking of having a son exactly like the Supreme Personality of God at the Lord of the Universe, your determination will be fulfilled. In other words, one's determination is fulfilled according to the strength of one's devotion. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pritranyanti Pritravrata, one is attached to a particular demigod, one is promoted to the boat of the demigod, if one is attached to the pictures of forefathers, one is promoted to their planet. And similarly, if one is attached to the Supreme Personality of God of Krishna, one is promoted to the boat of Lord Krishna. Akshimuni had no clear conception of the Lord of the Universe, therefore the three presiding deities who are actually the Lords of the Universe and the three departments and modes of nature all came before him. Now, according to the strength of his determination for his son, his desire will be fulfilled by the grace of the Lord. Next 31, he will have sons who will represent a partial manifestation of one, our potency, and because we desire all good fortune for you, those sons will glorify your reputation throughout the world. Thus, while the couple looked on, three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar, disappeared from that place after bestowing upon Atrimuni the benediction. Thereafter, from the partial representation of Brahma, the moon god was born of them. From the partial representation of Vishnu, the great mystic Dattatreya was born. And from the partial representation of Shiva, Durvasa was born. Now you may hear from me of the many sons of Angira. Angira's wife Shraddha gave birth to four daughters named Sinivali, Kuhu, Raka, and Anumati. Besides these four daughters, she also had two sons. One of them was known as Kutatya, and the other was the learned scholar Vriyasat. Kulasvi God and his wife Havirbhu, one son of the name of Agastya, who in his next birth became Ragni. Besides him, Kulasthavi got another very great and saintly son whose name was Visrava. Visrava had two wives. The first was Idavida, from whom Kuvera, the master of the Yakshas, was born. And the next wife was named Keshini, from whom three sons were born, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Vibhishana. Gati, the wife of the sage Pulaha, gave birth to three sons, namely Karmashrestha, Varyan, and Sahishnu, all of whom were great sages. Therefore, Gati, the wife of Pula, was the fifth daughter of Vardhamamuni. She was very faithful to her husband, and all her sons were as good as he. Kratu's wife, Priya, gave birth to 60,000 great sages named Valakilias. All these sages were greatly advanced in spiritual knowledge, and the bodies were illuminated by such knowledge. Therefore, Priya was the sixth daughter of Vardhamamuni, and she produced 60,000 sages who were known as Valakilyas because they all retired from family life as vanaprasthas. The great sage Vasishtha begot and his wife Urja, sometimes called Arundhati, seven spotless great sages, headed by the sage named Chitraketu. The name of these seven sages are as follows: Chitraketu, Surochi, Viraja, Mitra, Ulbana, Vasu, Vrijana, and Juma. Some other very competent sons were born from Vasishtha's other wife. Therefore, Urja, who was sometimes known as Arundhati and was the wife of Vasishtha, was the ninth daughter of Vardhamamuni. Chitti, the wife of the sage Atharva, gave birth to a son named Asvasira by accepting a great vow called Dadyancha. Now you may hear from me about the descendants of the sage Bhrigu. Purport, the wife of Atharva, known as Chitti, is also known as Shanti. She was the eighth daughter of Kardamamuni. The sage Bhrigu was highly fortunate, and his wife, known as Kati, he begot two sons named Datta and Vidatta, and one daughter named Sri, who was very much devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sage Meru had two daughters named Ayati and Niyati, whom he gave in charge to Datta and Vidatta. Ayati and Niyati gave birth to two sons, Mrikunda and Prana. From Mrikunda, Markandeya Muni was born, and from Prana, the sage Veda Sira, whose son was Ushana, or Supracharya, also known as Kavi. As Kavi also belonged to the descendants of the Bhrigu dynasty. My dear Vidura, the population of the universe was thus increased by the descendants of these sages and the daughters of Kardama. Anyone who hears the description of this dynasty with faith will be relieved from all sinful reactions. Another of Manu's daughters, known as Prasuti, married the son of Brahma named Daksha. Daksha begot 16 very beautiful daughters with lotus-like eyes and his wife Prasuti. Of these 16 daughters, 13 were given in marriage to Dharma and one daughter was given to Agni. One of the remaining of the two daughters was given in charity to Pitraloka, where she resides very amicably, and the other was given to Lord Shiva, who is the deliverer of sinful persons from material entanglement. The names of the 13 daughters of Daksha who were given to Dharma are Shraddha, Maitri, Daya, Shanti, Tushti, Pushti, Kriya, Unnati, Buddhi, Medha, Pratiksha, Kri, and Murti. These 13 daughters produced the following sons. Shraddha gave birth to Subha, Maitri produced Prasad, Daya gave birth to Abhaya, Shanti gave birth to Sukha, Tushti gave birth to Muda, Pushti gave birth to Smaya, Kriya gave birth to Yoga, Unnati gave birth to Darpa, Budhi gave birth to Artha, Medha gave birth to Smriti, Tiksha gave birth to Kshema, and Kri gave birth to Prasraya. Murti, a reservoir of all respectable qualities, gave birth to Sri Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the occasion of the appearance of Narayan, the entire world was full of joy. Everyone's mind became tranquil, and thus, in all directions, the air, rivers, and mountains became pleasant. In the heavenly planets, bands began to play and they showered flowers from the sky. The pacified sages chanted Vedic prayers. The denizens of heaven, known as the Gandharvas and Kinnaras, sang. The beautiful damsels of the heavenly planets danced. And in this way, at the time of the appearance of Narayan, all signs of good fortune were visible. Just as at that time, great demigods like Brahma also offered their respectful prayers. Translation of three deities told Atri Muni, dear Brahmana, you are perfect in your determination, therefore as you have decided, so it will happen. It will not happen otherwise. We are all the same person upon whom you are meditating, therefore we have come to you. So this is the explanation of the why all three became the sons of Atri Muni. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, as Prabhupada explains here, are all lords in one sense. And sometimes there is a little confusion about their identity because often they are all considered to be equal. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva is a common concept in India, that these are the three great lords. At the same time, we see in the Vedas that Vishnu gets the most glorification as the Purusha, or the Supreme Person. Rupa Goswami explains in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita that Brahma and Shiva have a somewhat ambiguous identity. Because sometimes they are Jiva and sometimes they're the Supreme Lord. So they are the Supreme Lord sometimes, and therefore it's not wrong to say they are the Supreme Lord. But at other times they're not the Supreme Lord. They are actually Jivas. So we know that as Jivas, even then they're also called Avatar. Guna Avatars are there, and those are Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. So in that sense also, even if they are Jivas, sometimes they're considered to be the Lord because they're called avatars. Just as we have Shaktivesh avatars who are Jivas, so in many cases the Guna avatars of Shiva and Brahma are also Jiva. But they're called avatar. They're given a very special position because of their endowment of powers. This, of course, is a little bit different from the Shaktivesh avatar, however. The Shaktivesh avatars are permanent, eternal forms who exist in the spiritual world. Whereas the Jiva who's empowered by the Supreme Lord as Brahma, it has the post. that's not his eternal position, and he will give up that post and become up some other devotee in Vaikuntha. And if Jiva takes the role of Shiva, the same thing. So they're put in a lesser category in one sense as Guru avatars, because that Jiva does not have that role permanently. It's a temporary post for him. So sometimes the Lord himself takes the role of Lord Brahma. For his own reasons, he may want to be the Brahma do the creation himself. So when that happens, then actually Brahma is the Supreme Lord, literally. And it's not just Asapaguna avatar or as an empowered Jiva. So actually the Supreme Lord can take that role at in certain times by his own will. Shiva, of course, we usually consider to be not a Jiva, but Rupa Goswami explains that sometimes a Jiva will take that role also of Shiva in the material world. And we know, of course, there are many forms of Shiva. There are Ekadas Rudras, or 11 forms of Shiva in the material world. So any of these forms could be a Jiva if the Lord so desires that they take up that role. At the same time, Shiva usually seems to be the not a Jiva, but and not a post, but the Supreme Lord himself, but with significantly less manifestation of powers, and particularly for controlling tamagun and causing destruction. So because of that, he's put in a separate category and not considered to be Vishnu. So therefore, when the scriptures speak of these different forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, sometimes they will say they are Ishvara, they are Supreme Lord, Parameshvara, etc. So it is not incorrect in some cases if it is actually the Supreme Lord taking the role. At the same time, it may be incorrect in the sense that it may be a Jiva. But because they are also empowered by the Lord, they are also considered Lords of sorts, because they are Guna avatar, etc. So that is where the confusion sometimes lies. Nevertheless, though the Lord may also take these forms, we all must consider that ultimately these forms have to do with material world. For creation, Lord Brahma does the creation, and Shiva does the destruction. So these forms are intimately related to the material world. And of course, even Vishnu does the maintenance of the material world. It's also related to the material world. So these three forms actually are related to the material world. And of course, we'll find that Garbhadakshaya Vishnu also is related to the material world, because he causes the production of Brahma. And even Mahavishnu is related to the material world, because he is the first creator of the material world by glancing and injecting the jivas. So all of these forms are related to the material world, and therefore they are also not put in the same category as the other forms of the Lord, like the Lila avatars or the forms in Vaikuntha. So there is all of these forms, I mean, although the Lord are considered in a lesser position than the forms in the spiritual world. Why? Because there may be Guna avatar or Purusha avatar, the Vishnu forms, the three Vishnu forms. But these are all functional in relation to the material world only. So they do not display the qualities to the same degree that the forms in the spiritual world will display. Those forms are Bhagavan forms. So they may look similar. Vishnu may look like Vishnu, with forearms and same decorations. But in Vaikuntha, he displays different qualities because he is performing pastimes with his devotees. Whereas, in relation to the creation of the material world, he's sleeping as Mahavishnu, and he is lying on the Garbhadak ocean as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and he stands there as Paramatma, as Trudakshaya Vishnu, in the hearts of all the jivas. So So he does not perform the same types of pastimes as Vishnu performs in Vaikuntha with Lakshmi and the devotees and others. So, therefore, the forms in the spiritual world are actually considered superior because of the manifestation of their qualities. So though Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva in the material world are considered to be lords of some sort, and Avalas Vishnu is supreme still, these forms are actually secondary to the forms in the spiritual world. So this is a high conception of God. Most people will think of God in relation to the material world. God is the creator of the material world. God knows everything in the material world. God is compassionate to the people in the material world. So this is related to the material world. God in relation to the material world. But God actually displays more qualities when he's not in the material world. When he's only performing activities in the spiritual world with the devotees. That is where the manifestation of rasa with the devotee will manifest nicely. So that actually is a higher form. This we should understand when we talk about Supreme Lord. But as I explained before, these forms also, even in the spiritual world, manifest different amounts of qualities according to the particular form. Some teach, as Dattatreya does, or Kapila. Some perform austerities, like Nara Narayan, and display Vairagya, like that. Others will display greater amounts of qualities, such as Varaha and Ashramha and Rama. Considered to be, in one sense, superior forms because of their greater manifestation of qualities. And of all the forms, Krishna displays full qualities. Whatever qualities are in Rama or Nrsimha or Varaha or Matsya or Kurma or anyone are also in Krishna. And whatever lilas they perform, he can also perform. But he performs lilas they do never perform. So nobody else performs Rasa Lila. But Krishna performs Rasa Lila. So he's put in a very special category. So that is why he is called Swayam Bhagavan. So these forms are all recognized as having some sort of lordship. The more knowledge we get, and the more fortunate we are, the more we can appreciate higher and higher and more complete forms of the Supreme Lord. Just as initially one may appreciate Brahman because it's peaceful, non-material, and then one will appreciate Paramatma or the Purusha avatars because they are in charge of material creation. And so most religions will fall in this category of either peace and creation of the material world. This is the idea of God for most people. Revelation of more qualities than that, that is in relationship with the devotees in particular activities and pastimes, that is considered to be Bhagavan. So that is the preferable realization. And in Bhagavan then we have various degrees of manifestation of qualities also. So there's great variety of realization in spiritual life, from minimal all the way to maximum. In this way we can more or less categorize religions or even sampradayas within a religion according to the amounts of and the forms that they take as their object of worship. And as Prabhupada said here, you concentrate on that particular form and worship that form. That is what you attain. So if you like Brahman and worship Brahman, you go to Brahman. If you like the creator of the universe, Paramatma, you go to Paramatma. If you like Bhagavan, you go to Bhagavan. So according to the different form, you get different ultimate goals when you're worshiping. Though God is one, we can approach God in different ways, and we get different results. Not that we get the same result by going different paths. We will get different results.
So the highest result is bhakti. And of course, bhakti to Krishna is the highest. Who, what worshippers? Worshippers of? They don't necessarily go to Brahmaloka. Worshippers of Brahma may go to Brahmaloka. People from Nishkama Karma Yoga may go to Brahmaloka. People that do pious activities go to Brahmaloka. And some devotees may also go to Brahmaloka. Those who are qualified get liberated. They may go to Brahman if they like Brahman, like sages in Brahmaloka. They may go to Vaikuntha if they're actually devotees of Vishnu. They may come back to the material world also, as explained at the end of the third canto. They may also go back to the material world, but they still have some material desires. They're on Brahmaloka, but they're not completely pure. They may come back. It looked like they emerged in the Mahavishnu, but they come out again. They get born again in the material world. So there are many different types of people that go to Brahmaloka, and consequently they get different destinations. That generally, but there are exceptions because not all are pure. And so some of the people, they actually come back again. Yeah.
All these Shastiyavishavatas are all as it is present in the spiritual world also?
That's what Rupa Goswami said. Avesh forms the spiritual, like Narada Muni, Kumaras, they're also there.
Kapila, Prithu Maharaj, they are also there.
Yeah, I probably even mentioned this as a Kapila Loka. Why put the Loka with Kapila on it? Some devotees who still do, they practice pure bhakti, but they, out of duty, they may perform karma yoga as well. So those devotees, Baladeva Vidyabhushan explains, they get krama mukti. Mm-hmm. And they go to the higher planets first, and then they go to Vaikuntha. So they get to see parts of the material world.
But they have too much of...
Of course, Brahma is also a devotee, so the followers of Brahma who are devotees of Vishnu also will go there.
If they have some tinge of karma yoga, then they will end up only up to shantaras?
Well, those who do karma misra bhakti, they end up in the spiritual world, ultimately. But with Sarupya Sarasthi Samitya, not even a rasa, maybe they got a little rati, santa rati, but not, it doesn't develop into rasa because they don't have a direct relationship with the Lord because they just meditate on Him. Whereas those jnanis, they may have get up to santa rasa a little higher. They may see the Lord also, like sages in the spiritual world. Just as in when Krishna went to Mathura, there were sages there. Shantarasa. They saw Krishna and Shantarasa. Devotees, they worship the Lord. If they're devotees, they just worship the Lord. Just like here, we may have pure devotees on earth, they want to worship the Lord, so Brahmaloka can do the same. But of course, for a longer period of time, because their lives are very long.
Well, the last point you mentioned, that if one is interested in Brahman, they go to Brahman, and if one is interested in Paramatma, they go to Paramatma.
Yeah.
So we understand that as they will end up in Brahman realization.
They may merge into Paramatma. Or the emulsions of Paramatma, they can do that. If they're lucky, then they may go beyond, they realize Paramatma, and then they begin worshipping Him in Dasya Rasa. They can do that, and they go to Vaikuntha, Dasya Rasa, like Yoga Mr. Bhakti.
Dasya.
Liquid, possible. Mm-hmm. Or Shanta, Shanta Rasa also.
But they enter into Paramatma also, you know, like in the Brahman.
Yeah.
And they continue their meditation.
Well, at that stage they merge.